Hi, I'm Judy Sugarman, and I'm going to talk about integrating peers into clinical teams and what New York City did and what we learned from it. Banner up. I have to say this out loud. I have no financial disclosures to make. However, I do have some. I have some personal disclosures to make in the spirit of complete transparency, which is what Parachute is all about. I come from a family with five generations of mental illness, everything from dementia praecox to bipolar disorder and all the stuff in between. Unfortunately, I did not get by unscathed. And I have had hospitalizations. I've been in 4-point restraints. I've requested and received ECT. And I too have bipolar disorder. And in addition to that, I'm a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. But recovery is possible. The photograph on the left was taken. I was at a birthday party for a four-year-old, and it was about 3 weeks before my very first hospitalization. And the one on the right is about 6 years later, when I was a member of the Field School, which was an offshoot of the Center to Study Recovery for Social in Social Context. Thank you, Mary Jane, and Kim Hopper, who's not here. So, recovery is possible. Parachute aimed to transform the mental health workplace. And 64 jobs for peers is really quite impressive for a first-time out adventure. In addition, we had 198 staff and peers trained, 20,934 hours of total training. That's a lot of hours. We have peers hired in these different venues. And the warm line, which is what Parachute NYC's hotline is, the warm line fielded 23,000 calls, which is quite impressive, I think. So how do we talk about this? I wanted to start with the questions that a lot of people who are first, a lot of psychiatric patients who are first diagnosed have, and I will share some of my questions. I went from a diagnosis of major depressive disorder to bipolar disorder, which was really devastating to me because, you know, the common cold of mental illness everyone says is depression, and now I'm in the serious mental illness category with a diagnosis I share with people who are talked about in tabloid papers and run around naked and talk to the god of their choice and all that stuff. So my concerns were many. I wanted to know how I could tease apart my illness from my personality. And now that, you know, I was a certified mental patient, like, who was ever going to date me? And if I did find somebody to date me, when do I disclose this information? And what about at work? Should I disclose it at work? How can I ever trust myself again when I lost absolutely everything I loved, everything that, including a child, because of my behavior and illness? How do I explain that I'd become the reigning queen of anhedonia and had no energy? I want to say the doctors and therapists were fabulous, but they didn't have a clue about the questions that I just mentioned. And this is where peers come in. We leave the hospital negotiating our illness, its treatment, and the treatment side effects. And at the same time, we struggle to redefine ourselves after a profound biographical disruption. No one should have to do this alone. And a peer could have helped answer a lot of these questions. So the value for the person, value of a peer for the person in crisis, peer support interrupts the isolation of mental illness, and it shatters the myth that says, I'm all by myself and I'm the only one. Mental illness is a liar and a thief, but through the mutuality of peer support, peers remind us that we do, in fact, have something to offer. And a peer can show us in flesh and blood that what recovery might look like, and that recovery from serious mental illness is, in fact, possible. The value for the family and the network is that if the peer supporter can recover, maybe my son or daughter or sister or wife or boyfriend can recover as well. The value for the peer supporter, of course, is it's an opportunity to create meaning from difficulty and employment, and that kind of stuff. And of course, the value of going from a crisis to recovery is a crisis. So mental health peers provide a viewpoint. They bring a seasoned perspective of veterans. And Parachute NYC is about patienthood not defining anyone. And that's a really, really big deal. Peers create connections that make the consumer feel like they belong. We're in this together kind of feeling. Connection within a peer relationship offers a respect and dignity that is very different. It brings trust, which leads to learning for both people and moves the focus away from the individual onto the relationship. And when the relationship is the priority, ways are found to stay connected even when people are feeling uncomfortable. Peers are a catalyst for growth. They're knowledgeable and they lead by example, which, by the way, this can be painfully slow. One mobile team client absolutely refused to meet with any treatment team, and the peer on the team on his own began calling the client once a week just to say hi, just to see how they were doing. And after a couple of months, the peer suggested that he and the client meet for coffee. And after a few months of coffee meetings, the client agreed to meet with the entire treatment plan. So I think clinicians may want to do something like that, but they just don't have the time, but a peer can do that. I want to define service-based relationships. They focus on what is wrong and what we're afraid is going to happen, and just think about your most recent visit to your GP, and that kind of says it all. But community-rooted relationships are based on what is possible, where we can go, and how together we can create something new. Again, the flesh and blood of a peer. Because of my experience and the things that I went through, both negative and positive, I'm useful. I can give hope to someone and let them know that, hey, I've been where you are. The point of view, as the client discovers he's not alone, that someone has his back, and is holding his hand as together they walk away from here to somewhere else. So these are some quotes from respite guests and clients about the difference that peers can make. And I also want to, during one of the one of our interviews with one of the clinicians, he said, not even the most senior social worker can match the sincerity of our peers. And not surprisingly, we discovered that at the respite, sharing meals was important. One respite guest said, making and eating the family meals together and the peace, tranquility, support, structure, and friendship when you stay at the respite lead to a healthier you. There were always many points of view at the respite. We observed some unexpected benefits of the mobile team's commitment to continuity of care, both in follow-through and smoothing when transactions to non-parachute parts of public mental health prove necessary. It was especially obvious in an instance that had the potential to be very traumatic. The parents of a mobile team client called the police while the mobile team was actually in the process of getting to their home. When the team arrived, the police were already there. When they got there, so everyone on the team had agreed that the client needed to be hospitalized, but the peers and the team effectively took the lead away from the cops, reducing their role to standby security and not coercive force. So it really facilitated a lot more gentle transition. The integration challenges were such that we asked one of the clinicians, well, what were the requirements of the job? And this is very early on, very, very early on. And he said, well, you know, we wanted them to show up on time for the interview, and we wanted them to be able to get through the HR investigation. So in addition to that, there was poor job definition because nobody else had done this before. Nobody knew, you know, it's expected. Nobody knew what to expect. And at least one of the respites, the responsibilities of the peers included taking out the garbage and sweeping up, changing the bed linens, and so a lot of cleaning, as well as running groups and meeting with the guests. So the respite agency solved this problem by hiring a full-time maintenance man. And I think, you know, all the respites ended up doing something like that. There was insufficient supervision for peers by peers. We did a couple of peer-only focus groups. And we found out that everyone on all the teams really wished that they had a peer supervisor. Oh boy, 5 minutes. Okay, so there are, I'll skip some, but relapse and triggers for the spirit, you know, working this closely with people in crisis has the potential for triggering a relapse, but not also for the peer. I mean, there are clinicians who are diagnostically closeted, and they need to know that they don't have to deal with it alone either. Around a year after the implementation of Parachute, a clinician on one of the teams shared with the members of his mobile team his own mental health struggles. And that disclosure was really a pivotal moment on that team. It created a glue that really cemented that team and changed the dynamics all around. So I just want to have to say replication recommendations in public, my personal challenge. Learn about the peer movement before you start something like this. Get hip to the jargon on the street. There are peers who call themselves ex-patients, psychiatric survivors, consumers, service users, and they all carry different connotations. There are some peers who are extremely radical in anti-psychiatry, but I think you'll find the majority are middle of the road and, you know, have just want to be there to serve. What you want in terms of clinicians are people who are sympathetic to the cause and want to do the work, obviously. But we need docs who can be comfortable not being the front line of care, who can be comfortable not rushing to hospitalize someone who's actively psychotic, someone who can live without pressing the medication issue so that the client's given the space and can come to it on his own. And the same thing about peers apply. One very experienced peer had come from an adult home where he had well-defined tasks that had a beginning, middle, and end. And he was great at that job, but he wasn't a great fit for parachute because he just couldn't tolerate the uncertainty, which is a requirement of both of all three models. Build-in, I touched on it, but build-in as much support for the peers as possible with another peer. And now, there will be pensions, but I think it's important to, it's important to address the skill set that's needed to be a peer, how to be in the workplace, like what are the responsibilities. Some people had very limited work experience, some of the peers. By recognizing the value of lived support, provide clear job description. Do you want me to do casework management as well? Do you want me to clean up? Will I be making coffee? that kind of stuff. And develop a career ladder, which I think is possible now that Medicaid has come into it. The last slide is just a quote that I really, really, really like. Only when we recognize that certain means are available to us do we discover goals which had not occurred to us before. And the peers become the means for believing that certain goals are realistic for someone like me. The person in crisis may not know what is possible, but they do know that something other than the crisis is possible. Thanks so much, Amy Pablo.